हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् तस्मै नमः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः भक्तियोगो नाम द्वादशोऽध्यायः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः So we have seen up to 18th verse. I'll repeat the 18th verse and move on to 19th verse. Samashatro cha mitre cha tatha manapamanayo Chitoshna sukha dukkheshu samasanga vivarjitaha The 18th and 19th should be studied together, read together. Tulya nindastutir mauni संतुष्टो येन केनचित् अनिकेत स्थिरमतिः भक्तिमान् मे प्रियो नरः तुल्यनिन्दास्तुतिर्मौनी संतुष्टो येन केनचित् तुल्यनिन्दास्तुतिर्मौनी संतुष्टो येन केनचित् अनिकेत स्थिरमतिः भक्तिमान् मे प्रियो नरः तुल्यनिन्दास्तुतिर्मौनी संतुष्टो येन केनचित् अनिकेत स्थिरमतिः भक्तिमान् मे प्रियो नरः If you read both verses together, you get the complete meaning. समशत्रौ च मित्रे च तथा नापमानयोः समशत्रौ च मित्रे च तथा मानापमानयोः शीतोष्णसुखदुःखेषु समसङ्गविवर्जितः शीतोष्णसुखदुःखेषु समसङ्गविवर्जितः तुल्य निन्दास्तुतिर्मौनी संतुष्टो येन केनचित् तुल्य निन्दास्तुतिर्मौनी संतुष्टो येन केनचित् अनिकेतस्थिरमतिः भक्तिमान् मे प्रियो नरः अनिकेत स्थिरमतिः भक्तिमान् मे प्रियो नरः Beautiful verses read together gives you the meaning. So Bhagavan says here, Naraha Bhaktiman me priyaha naraha. Bhaktiman me priyaha naraha. So here Bhaktiman is one who has bhakti, he is bhaktiman, the devotee. One who has devotion is devotee. So bhaktiman, a devotee who has devotion, and that bhaktiman, and Bhagavan says, me priyaha, he is dear to me. Me priyaha is, me means mama priyaha. He is my beloved or he is dear to me. Me priyaha. Mama Priyaha, he is dear to me. He is my beloved person. Who? Bhaktiman. But the thing is, Bhagavan says, who is Bhaktiman? Bhaktiman, one who has devotion. One, the devotee is dear to me. Bhaktiman me Priyaha, that is fine. But who is the devotee? That is what is the whole two verses tell you who actually is a devotee. In fact, one who has jnanam, one who sees one's own swarupam being Bhagavan, thereby one who does not see the one's own self being non-different from Bhagavan is a jnani bhaktaha. The exalted of the devotees is the one who does not see Bhagavan as other than oneself. For him, Bhagavan is one's own swarupam. Does not see himself being different from Bhagavan. seeing one's own self being non-different from Bhagavan is a jnani bhakta. If such a jnanam is there, and the knowledge should, such a jnanam, that knowledge must reflect in his behavior. So, but here, it is said, Bhagavan Sri Krishna says here, if you say, samo shatrocha mitrecha, we have to see from the, who is this bhaktiman? This bhaktiman who is mentioned in this verse number 19, is who is dear to Bhagavan, is the one who is of this behavior, who is of this nature, for whose nature, the effortless, spontaneous, the behavior of the wise person is this. Such a person is dear to Bhagavan. So Bhagavan says here, Shatro Mitrecha Samaha. First qualification number one. Who is Bhagavan's Bhakta? Who is dear to Bhagavan? We all can call ourselves Bhakti. I am also Bhaktiman. You are Bhaktiman. Aham Bhaktimati. I am a devotee. You are a devotee. He is a devotee. She is a devotee. Whoever goes to temple or church are praying 3-4 times a day, we think we are all devotees. We think we are devotees. But who is devotee according to Bhagavan? I can call myself Bhagavan. But who is bhakti? Who is a devotee according to Bhagavan? We must be a devotee who is defined, who is dear to Bhagavan, who no, Bhagavan is showing, who is Bhaktiman. Samashatra ucha mitrecha. First qualification of a bhakta. So one who is the same attitude towards a friend and an enemy. Shatruhu, enemy. Mitram, friend. Shatrocha mitrecha, both are locative case. The words in locative case. Shatrocha mitrecha. So, the one who has same attitude. One who is the same towards both a friend and an enemy. Shatrocha mitrecha samaha. Qualification number one. Then, tatha, similarly, as well, mana apamanayoho samaha. Number two qualification, mana apamanayoho samaha. Who is the same in manam, hana, apamanam, dishonor? The person who can remain the same in honor and dishonor, whether he is honored or humiliated, whether he is ill-treated, whether he is respected. So in honor and dishonor, this person remains the same. Which means, remaining the same means what? It is not easy. If you are, when you are honored, you feel very pleased and you will feel elated. When you are dishonored or humiliated, you will feel very sad and low and depressed. It will very, very sad. It is not possible for a person to remain balanced in all situations. Especially mana apamana yoga in honor and dishonor. Not only that, Bhagavan says, Shita Ushna. In Shitam, cold. Ushnam, heat. Shita Ushna. Shita Ushna Yoho. In heat and cold, in cold and heat, the person remains the same. There's no complaint about situations outside. He can remain the same without being affected by cold and heat. Remains the same. Sukha Dukkesh. In pleasure and pain. Shita, Ushna, Sukha, Dukkeshu. In cold and heat, in pleasure and pain, in honor and dishonor. He only mentions, Bhagavan mentions three states of experience. Three pairs of opposites. Three pairs of opposites Bhagavan mentions. You can include as much as possible in them. Okay, these three stand for all forms of pairs of opposites we have to go through in life. Mana, apamana yoho, shita ushna yoho, sukha dukkha yoho. Together you can say what? Shita ushna sukha dukkheshu. Mana apamana yoho, mana apamana, shita ushna sukha dukkheshu. Okay, in all these pairs of opposites, this is, manam is desirable, apamanam is undesirable. Honor is desirable, apamanam, dishonor is not desirable. In summer, sheetam is desirable. In winter, ushnam is desirable. But they both are undesirables in their own seasons. Sukham is desirable, dukkham is undesirable. Therefore, desirable, undesirable, pleasant, unpleasant situations in all these pairs of opposites. And these pairs of opposites are inevitable, unavoidable. We learnt in the various opening verses of second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Chitoshta Sukadukkadaha. When sense organs come in contact with the respective sense objects, naturally they will give rise to the experience of pairs of opposites. You cannot avoid experience of pairs of opposites. You cannot keep a sense organs closed and live forever. You have to make use of them. You have to live in the world. You have to interact with the world, interact with the people. When it happens, and then you cannot help, it is very natural for everyone choicelessly, helplessly going through this experience of pairs of opposites. So Bhagavan says here, Tatha mana apamana yoho shita ushna yoho sukadukke shitoshta sukadukkeshu. In all these pairs of opposites of desirable, undesirable situations, samaha, one who remains the same, without elation and dejection, depression, one who remains balanced, without any disturbance. Similarly, one who remains the same with towards his friend and enemy, such a person, sangha vivarjitaha, one who is free from attachment also. See, free from attachment means, attachment means what? Being dependent on anything other than the self for happiness and security is attachment. Attachment can be to one's own possessions, one's own relatives, one's own family, or one's own work, one's own money, or one's own wealth, or one's own house, etc., assets, or one's even results of actions, results. Attachment can be to anything and everything in the world. I mean, being dependent on anything and everything in the world for one's happiness and security is said to be sangaha. And this person, not only he is the same towards friend and enemy, not only he remains the same in all situations of pairs of opposites, he's totally free from attachment. He's no more attached. He's detached. He is a person of concern and affection, caring person, compassionate person, affectionate person. At the same time, he's sangha vivarjitaha. Varjitaha means he is free from sangha. But his vivarjitaha means he is totally free from attachment to anything in the world. Not only that, Bhagavan continues, 19th verse. Tulya ninda stutir mauni. Tulya ninda stutir mauni. Ninda means censure. Stutihi means praise. Okay. Earlier we have seen honor and dishonor, mana apamana. Now sometimes you may be praised, people may glorify you. Sometimes they may find fault with you, they may censure. So ninda means censure, and stutihi means praise. Tulya ninda stutihi. This person, he remains the same. Tulyam, tulyaha. Nindayam stutocha tulyaha yaha tulya ninda stutihi. So tulyaha also means samaha. So one who remains the same, okay, in situations of censure and praise, one who remains the same towards censure and praise. In fact, censure may make you boil. Somebody finds fault with you, you will boil and you will react, you will jump. Whereas this person remains calm. Other censure does not disturb this person at all. It means he is the same. Somebody comes and praises you also, you will feel so elated. You feel disturbed. So others praising you will disturb you. Others even censuring you also will disturb you. So, Jnani Bhaktaha, this Bhaktaha remains the same towards censure and praise. Tulya Ninda Stutihi. Not only that, Mauni. Next to qualification, Remember all the qualifications. Okay. See, if you want to be a best of the devotees, a jnani bhaktaha, thereby if you want to be dear to Bhagavan, see that these qualifications are there for you. Am I the same towards my enemy and friend? Samaha. Shatro mitrecha samaha. Mana apamana yoho samaha. Then, shita ushna sukadukha yoho. Shita ushna sukadukheshu. Shitoshna sukadukheshu samaha. Tulya ninda. Shitoshna sukadukheshu samaha. Then, tulya nindastutihi. Tulya nindastutihi. Stulya nindastutihi. Sangha vrjitaha visa. Tulya nindastutihi. Mauni. Next qualification is mauni. Mauni means Maunam Shilam Yasya. The one who is of the discipline of remaining silent. Mauni, not that this person is not a non-talkative person. What he means is, Mauni means the person who speaks little. The person of limited speech is called Mauni. Person of limited speech. Why? Because if there's no disturbance in the mind, the person who is reveling in the vision of fullness, if there is niraivu in one's mind, if there's fullness in the mind, then there is nothing. Fullness must be there. Na niraivaha irikkiren. If I am of the nature of fullness, which means what is being fullness? Fullness means there's nothing is lacking. There's no lacking on the side. Sense of lacking on the person, on the part of the person. There's no lacking, there's no sense of inadequacy on the part of the person. So there is sense of fulfillment, there is fullness. Then there's no lacking, there's no sense of inadequacy, means this person is not dependent on anything external for his happiness, for security, or for him to keep him in good humor. Naturally, this person is independent of the world, independent of anything other than oneself for his happiness and security. And that person is not disturbed by anything. He is not disturbed. Not the non-disturbability. Being non-disturbable, it makes him what? Calm person. Then the person cannot speak much. What is there for you to speak? See, wanting to speak to other person itself is a mental disturbance, according to Shastra. That does not mean, oh, that because Bhagavad Gita says speaking itself is a mental problem, it may not speak. It means if we, with not having the jnanam, if you do not speak also, it is problem. You know that? It is sickness. Sometimes people go, form a cocoon and then they go inside somewhere. They don't even speak. Very unfriendly. So that unfriendly behavior is not, does not make a person mauni. People have so much of noise happening in the mind. This noise is too much and they remain quiet in somewhere inside. Such a quietitude, that such calmness is not here mentioned. This person, because the mind is not at all disturbed, the person's mind is absolutely undisturbed mind. What is happening in the world does not disturb him at all. Whoever studies anything, whatever they do, whatever others are doing, let the whole world be doing so many things. I am not at all disturbed. I am not at all perturbed. I am very happy for anybody doing anything. I am very happy for whatever is happening. Because I am not dependent on my happiness. I am not dependent on what others are doing, what others should not be doing. Whether the others study, others do not study, or what people are doing, what I have, what I do not have, I'm not absolutely not at all dependent on anything for my happiness, for my security. Means, then I'm not disturbed. When a person is not in independence, there's non-disturbance. In non-disturbance, then you cannot speak much. This is a secret, okay? This is silence born of maturity. The sick people also become silent. That is not a sickness. Not speaking to anybody and then remaining quiet also sometimes symptom of sickness, mental sickness. But it's a symptom of not sickness, health. Okay? So in good health also people become, in perfect health also people become quiet. In sickness also people become quiet. So we should not be people of, you know, limited speech of sickness. We must be people of limited speech of knowledge, wisdom. Why they do not speak much? Because the mind itself is so calm and quiet, not disturbed. There is no pressure of wanting to speak. Puja Swami used this expression. There is no pressure of wanting to speak. The pressure of wanting to speak to other people will be there only if there is a disturbance. If there is no disturbance in the mind, then there won't be need for you to speak. Of course, relevant things you have to speak. We make a call, we talk to people, each other. Relevant thing, useful thing, relevant thing, meaningful thing. If I call somebody, somebody calls me, what, there must be some content, which means it must be useful for me or for the other person who listens to me. If I call, either I must benefit from calling, speaking, or the person who listens to me must benefit. And there must be some relevance of what I'm speaking to the person. Most of the time people are very irrelevant. There must be some relevance of what I'm speaking. And there's some purpose also. It must serve some purpose. Then you can't speak too much. If you take care of all these things, what I speak must be the truth. What I speak should not be harmful, hurtful. It should not be anything bad about anybody. Then it should be useful either for me or for the listener. Then it must be relevant. It must serve a purpose. Okay, the six factors if you remember, then if you can remember the six conditions, and if you speak and you cannot speak much, you will speak very, very little. Otherwise, this jnani, naturally what happens, effortlessly, there's no necessity because it's free from the pressure of wanting to speak because this mind is not disturbed. This mind is not disturbed at all because he is independent of the world for his happiness and security. That's all. Somebody calls this person, he will respond definitely. And he'll answer, he'll give the appropriate answer. Enough he'll speak, then he'll remain quiet. That is what is said to be being a person of limited speech. Hachapurusa jnani becomes a mauni. Person of limited speech. So being a person of limited speech is an expression of oneself being free from the pressure of wanting to talk, wanting to speak, caused by the mental habits. How jnanam contributes? Therefore, mauni, another qualification. Mauni, santushtaha, yena kena chittu santushtaha. Yena kena chittu santushtaha. Again, another qualification, beautiful qualification. Yena kena chittu santushtaha. He's just happy. You know, yena kena chittu santushtaha. Whatever comes, he is happy with that. There's no such a thing, oh, today this has come, tomorrow is going to come this, only this much has come. There's no such a complaint at all on his part. So, yena kena chittu santushtaha, where the word tushtaha means satisfied. Santushtaha also means satisfied. Triptaha. Yena kena chittu. So, this person is not, because he's not dependent on anything external for his happiness and security. This person, because he sees Bhagavan as one's own sarupam, because of his clear vision of the oneness of reality, because of his clear vision of himself being non-different from Bhagavan, because of his clear vision of fullness being one's own real nature, this person who is reveling in the vision of fullness is not at all dependent on, there's no such a thing called lacking on his part. Therefore, he's not dependent on anything else for his happiness or for his security. This freedom from emotional dependence makes him what? Makes him contented. See, being independent of the world for happiness and security is being free from the pressure of wanting to speak. Therefore, the person becomes a person of limited speech. And being independent of the world also makes this person absolutely contented with his very nature. So, because of independence, whatever comes, he is satisfied. Yena kenachis santushtaha. Not because of he is happy with what he comes. He is already satisfied with his own vision. Thereby, whatever comes him does not, desirable thing does not add to his satisfaction, which he already has. And the undesirable thing also does not reduce his degree of satisfaction. He is absolutely already satisfied. The contentment born of his vision, clear vision of everything being Bhagavan, no, really makes him will always. Whatever comes, he is satisfied. He is very pleased. Okay, he is ever pleased minded. So yena kena chitta santushtaha. That is the luxury, you know. Just being absolutely satisfied and contented with just being one's own self is the luxury, that is the sophistication. Okay? There's no greater sophistication than just being contented because of being what one, just being one's own self. So, then naturally, the minds are very, very contented. Whereas, the people, among other people, it is very difficult to satisfy them, very difficult to please them, very difficult to keep them in good humor. You know, that is because of the, that is why we feel discontented, dissatisfied with right from so many things. We push the food we don't like, the dress we don't like. Somebody gives a small gift. Oh, this could have been that gift. Anything given, you are dissatisfied. This discontentment. That is actually whatever is given to you, you feel dissatisfied with that is because dissatisfaction with one's own mind, okay, one's own self, gets expressed in the mouth, your dissatisfaction with what is outside. Therefore, this jnani is yena kena chitta santushtaha. And even wanting to be, okay, this is how it has to be ironed. This is how it has to be washed. This is how it has to be done. There's always, we try to find fault also because you don't feel satisfied. And you want everything to be much more perfection, perfect. And in fact, there's no perfection. You can never find absolutely perfect thing in any field of anything. Everybody is the only Purushottama. Bhagavan is the only absolutely perfect person. Purusheshu Uttamaha Purushottama. Only Bhagavan is the perfect person. There's no human being who can be perfect. Okay. And then again, concept of perfect also, being perfect also differs from person to person sometimes. Therefore, Bhagavan says here, anyway, what he wants to say, this santushta yena kena chitushtaha jnani, then aniketaha. See, aniketanam means a home, an abode. Aniketaha means homeless. A homeless means every beggar is a homeless. Then they're all jnanis or what? No. the homeless beggars, the drug addicts who are on the roadsides, they are homeless and who are government parasites. They all become jnanis and bhaktas. No. Here, aniketaha, homeless means those who are free from sense of possession. Okay, being homeless, all homeless people are aniketaha, literally means homeless. Oh, homeless person is a bhakta and he is very dear to Bhagavan. Very good. Then let me become homeless. Not that way. Homeless means, that means in so many, in Californian main roads, so that people who are sitting in the tents, even cold weather, they all become yogis then. You all become jnanis, mahatmas. Aniketaha, niketam, niketaha, niketanam, nasti saha, aniketaha. Aniketanaha or aniketaha. The homeless means the person who is free from sense of possession, does not have ownership, because he is free from ahankara. There is no I sense on this, on the part of this person. What is being free from ahankara? This person does not have any identity even with the body, mind, sense complex. Even though this person has body, mind, sense complex, he is eating, drinking and talking, he is doing things like any other ajnani also, this wise person. But still, the difference is he does not have very strong I sense, identity in the body, with the body, mind, sense complex. So not having identity, he is free from all wrong notions about the self. Even though relatively he identifies himself with the body, because he has to live in the world. He has to live in the world. So he has relative identity with the body, but still he is free from all wrong notions about the self. See, not that he completely doesn't have any identity at all. A jnani has relative identity with the body, but he knows definitely the self is not the body, mind, sense complex. At the same time, he is free from all wrong notions about the self. Because of his clear vision of the self being his own real self, being non-separate from Bhagavan, the truth of the whole, he knows he is free from all wrong notions. And being free from all the wrong notions one has about oneself is what? Being free from ahankara. All the wrong notions about the self have been resolved for good. Why? Because there is no wrong perception of the self. Why? Because he has clear vision of the self. So, being endowed with the clear vision of what the self is, this person does not have any more wrong identity. There's no error in his perception of the self. Therefore, he is free from all wrong conclusions he made about himself before. He is free from wrong notions about the self. Thereby, in the clear vision of what oneself is, he is also free from the wrong notions about the world also. Okay, therefore, he is free from the hold of wrong notions about the self, which is freedom from ahankara. Thereby, in the wake of the clear vision of what the self is, he is also free from the wrong notions about the self, about the world. Okay, the error in the perception of the world also is corrected for him. So he does not see the world or any other possessions, including his own body, mind, sense complex, as source of happiness or as responsible for unhappiness. Therefore, he is not dependent on the world and external things. And he, being free from all wrong notions about the self and the world, this person, we say, he is free from sense of possession. He is free from sense of possession. There's no my mind. Why there's no mind? Sense of possession is not. There's no my sense or I sense on the part of a jnani. Sense of possession is possible only if you think that you are different from what is possessed by you. Understand? I am here. This house is mine. You see yourself being different from the house you possess. You see yourself being different from the house you possess. You have a clear vision of what you are. You can see I am the truth distinct from everything that is here. At the same time, nothing is different from me. That's one thing. Second thing, there's no really, absolutely, there's no second thing other than you. For a jnani, if you ask a jnani, is the second thing other than Atma, he'll say no. You'll be shocked to know this. For a jnani who has a clear vision of what is absolutely real, what is not real, he knows what is real and what is not real. Therefore, what is not real means what? He, other than the Atma, anything that is there is not real. Not real means mithya. Mithya means it is as good as non-existent. So, jnani is not a fool to have a sense of possession towards things which really are not there. Okay, this is mithya. Only if a person has mithya, understands the mithyatvam of everything in the world, then a person sees oneself being non-different, non-separate from everything else. There's nothing. The person is free from sense of possession. And being free from the sense of possession, sense of ownership, being free from this ownership also, makes a person aniketaha. He's a homeless person, means free from sense of possession. One meaning, okay? And really, this person, a jnani, whether he has some house, he doesn't have house, still, he is the same. Aniketaha, sthiramatihi. One more word is that, sthiramatihi. And actually, Shankar Bhagavatpada writes for Aniketaha, he says, Aniketaha also implies that this jnani bhaktaha becomes a naturally sannyasi. Whether he is wearing saffron robes or white dress or any other colored dress, doesn't matter. If jnanam is there, any jnani is a sannyasi. All sannyasis need not be jnanis. But jnani is definitely a sannyasi. Okay, sannyasihi, sannyasi. So, sannyasi means the person who is free from sense of possession. Absolutely. And because he is not dependent on anything else, comfort for his happiness and security, this person can be there anywhere. This is Bhaja Govinda, there is a beautiful verse which says, Suramandirataru Mulani. Puja Swamiji always used to quote this. Suramandirataru Mulanivasah Shayabhutalamajinam Vasah Sarva Parigraha Bhogatyagah Kasya Sukham Nakaroti Viragah Kasya Sukham Nakaroti Viragah. See, a person of fullness will be absolutely dispassionate person. If you discover fullness as your own real nature, if you see yourself being non-different from Paramatma, and then there'll be only fullness. Once fullness is your real nature, you don't need to attain fullness, you don't need to become full, you're already of the nature of fullness. This vision of the fullness being one's own real nature is possible if a person discovers one's own Swarupam being pure knowledge. And one assimilates this vision clear, absolutely, I am distinct from body, mind, sense complex. I'm distinct from this material world. I'm distinct even though I'm not distant. And I am of the nature of fullness, consciousness, existence. Aham Brahmasmi. If this vision is very clear, then naturally, for that person, fullness is, once fullness is here, nirevu is in the mind, then naturally you are not dependent on anything external. Such a person doesn't matter. Sura Mandira Taru Mola Nivasaha. The person will be residing somewhere under a tree, also okay. Shaya Bhutalam. The earth becomes, floor becomes his bed. Ajinam Vasaha, he can wear some whatever is available to cover himself. Sarva parigraha bhogatyagaha. He is not at all. He is totally dispassionate towards any degree of pleasure. For such a person, for totally dispassionate person, absolutely dispassionate minded for him, how can there not be sukham? What is only sukham? Okay, in fact, in jnanam, one can be absolutely dispassionate. Otherwise, dispassion is impossible. Without jnanam, there cannot be dispassion. Because dispassion is there, and there is only sukham. There is no dukkham at all. So, that's what he says. So, aniketaha means, aniketaha implies this person, not simply, it means homeless, not the simply a homeless person, a person of dispassion, total dispassion. That is why Jnani is revered as Bhagavan. Okay. Then aniketa, sthiramatihi. Sthiramatihi means the firm knowledge. Okay, sthiramatihi means he is absolutely strong person. Sthiramatihi, the person of firm, the person of strength, tremendous mental strength, the person of tremendous mental strength. Sthiramatihi, urdiyana manamudayavan, means the person of mental strength. It's called sthiramatihi. Sthiramatihi yasya. And how does he get it? Shastram says, see, of all the creatures, human beings are said to be powerful people. You know that. All people are very, of all the creatures, who are the powerful people, powerful creatures? Human beings. Human beings. So we only make use of all other living beings are available, all other things, everything is available. So human beings are the most powerful of all creatures. And it's only because of this knowledge, this only because of the self-consciousness, because of knowledge of self-existence, and because of the willpower, because of this faculty of choice, human beings are said to be powerful, this knowledge. And even among human beings also, the self-knowledge, atma-jnanam, because you know you are the most powerful, most sophisticated of all other creatures. When you discover what you are, you become the strongest person. The strong person becomes stronger and stronger and strongest person in the wake of knowledge of what you are. And, okay, so atma-jnanam is the highly powerful knowledge. And it is this jnanam, Upanishad says, atmana vindate viryam. A person attains this strength. Where does this person derive this strength? People will ask. Even though the person may look very weak, physically he may look weak, but the person is mentally very strong person. That's why you can see sometimes some jnanis, some sadhus, they look very puny. They're not plump, okay, like pumpkins. Still, they're very puny, simple people. You can see walking around. They look very puny physically. But I tell you, mentally, very strong people. Very, very strong people. And what is the secret? Where do they get derive their strength? It is the wisdom. It is the knowledge. That's why knowledge is power. Knowledge is strength. And sthiramatihi. People of wisdom, the people who are endowed with the mind, with the knowledge, are the people whose minds are strongest minds. So, sthiramatihi means the knowledge makes you strong effortlessly. So, you work only for knowledge. Don't work for strength, okay? You work for jnanam, you will be the strongest person. Shastram says, teaches us this trick. Do you want to be strong? Do you want to be powerful? Then seek Bhagavan's grace. First thing, live a life of karma yoga, surrender your will to dharma, then dharma becomes your protection, then you have the strength. Living, Swamiji always used to say, my commitment to dharma is my strength. My commitment to live a life of values is my strength. Isn't it? So that becomes relative strength. If you're committed to live a life of dharma, values, universal values, doesn't matter if you know what you're doing is right. I mean, in a sense, you know 100% you do not want to go against dharma, then you don't need to worry about what the world says. It just be. All commitment to dharma is one strength. It's relative strength. Absolutely, what is strength? Even dharma will not be in us, will not give you absolute strength. In jnanam, if you discover your swarupam, if you remain just, you be yourself. Only if you discover what you are and assimilate, ascertain, this is what I am, if that vision becomes very clear, then if you are just yourself, that is the greatest strength. Being yourself is the strength. Okay? And these jnanis, because of the vision, they have the strength, absolute strength. So, sthiramatihi, the beautiful. These two verses, in fact, the whole 12th chapter must memorize. When we were young, we were told to memorize. Now, I was given 180 rupees to memorize this whole chapter when I was very young. So, I was, very nice way to get money from my grandfather. If I memorize, I'll get money. I memorized the shlokas to get money from my grandfather. And then if I go and rest in front of Chinmayananda, he used to give me fruit. So then I feel very proud, you know, in front of others I chant. Those days, as though to get one banana, to get one fruit, and to also to get some money, and then we were asked to memorize. You know, I loved all these things. Even in UK, all those things for children. Unfortunately, I didn't have that. Somehow, these things didn't work out that way. We'll see in future. So what I'm saying, even today, Sringeri Acharya has made an announcement. There's a big board in Sringeri. If you go, you can see. If anybody, whoever memorizes the whole Bhagavad Gita, and they'll have a test, okay? Test. In the sense, you can go and recite all verses upside down and also from right from first to the end. Then and they will be given 40,000 rupees. Even today, Acharya has this, Sringeri. Why? Because these verses, you must understand the meanings, memorize them, keep them in your mind, and you keep on, it should come to your mind again and again, then you will remember. See, jnani is spontaneously like this. Jnani effortlessly, this is how a jnani is. So if you try to be like a jnani, then we can become like jnanis. But it is jnanam that makes the big difference. It is the wisdom, jnanam, which makes a big difference. In jnanam, there is the strength. Because in jnanam, there is fearlessness. In jnanam, there is knowledge is power, knowledge is strength, knowledge is fearlessness, fearlessness, knowledge is safety. Jnanameva rakshakam, protective, protection also. Rakshanam, rakshakam, protective, and the protection is for us jnanam. So, sthiramatihi, such a person, Bhagavan says what? Bhaktiman. He is a jnani bhaktaha. Such a person is the most exalted of all devotees, jnani bhaktaha. He is a bhaktiman. Acha bhaktaha me priyaha. He is dear to me, Bhagavan says. What does it mean? He is dear to me means what? Because jnani, for a jnani, Bhagavan is the self. So Bhagavan being the very self of a jnani means for, is it clear? That is what is said to be here. Nobody can hate oneself. Can you hate yourself? If you hate yourself, you are very sick, okay? You need big treatment. You cannot hate yourself. In fact, we all love ourselves. The most, the whom you love the best is yourself. Please understand. It's a satyam. Okay, Shastram says, no, I love my husband more than myself. Even if you say that's not true. You love yourself the best. You are the most loved by you. And if at all you love a husband or children or my son, my grandchild, I love them. Of course, we have affection. We are very much attached. I know that. That is a different problem that is, okay? Emotional problem. That's okay. Nothing wrong. being affectionate is nothing wrong, but there's really speaking, what to love is the pleased self. You love your pleased self, happy self. You love your own happiness. Therefore, what you actually love is your happiness. That is yourself. Therefore, and whoever is you think responsible, whomever you are dependent on for your happiness, they all become objects of your love. Okay, really speaking, by loving so many people, ultimately what you are loving is yourself. You know that Atmanastu Kamaya Sarvam Priyam Bhavati. Whether you like it or not, this is a bitter fact. So it's not a bitter fact, it's a nice fact only. Sweet fact only. Therefore, Stiramatihi Saha Bhaktiman Me Priyaha. Bhagavan says, Bhagavan is the very self of the devotee. And therefore, being the very self of the devotee, Bhagavan says, he is dear to me. And Jignyasu Bhaktaha is a real devotee. And Jnani Bhaktaha is the exalted of the devotees. And this is how a Jnani Bhakta will be. If you want to be a devotee who is dear to Bhagavan, and see that all these, okay, are practiced in your day-to-day life. Are you able to remain the same to your friend and enemy? There starts the problem. Okay? Samo shatrocha mitrecha. Man apamana yoho, are able to remain the same in honor and dishonor. At least honor you can handle it, dishonor you cannot handle at all. You feel so dejected. Mana apamana yoho. Sita ushta sukadukheshu samaha. Tulya nindastutir mauni. Tulya nindastutihi. Can you remain the same in censure and praise? And can you remain mauni? How much are you speaking? Measure your speech first of all. How much are you speaking? When are you speaking? Where are you speaking? What are you speaking? Whom are you speaking to? How relevant is what you are speaking? How true it is what you are speaking? How real is it? How are you aware of what you are speaking? If we really take into account all these things, then that is what is called self-assessment. Okay, and you can assess whether I'm a real bhakta or I have yet to become a bhakta. And if you think, no, oh my God, I am not of any of these qualities, even slightest degree, you all may have certain degree of all these things, what is being said here, all these virtues. But I tell you, if it is not there, then we must beg Bhagavan to bless you with all strength to live a life of values. You cannot do better prayer to Bhagavan than praying for the strength and the clarity to be able to live a life of dharma. That is the first step. That is how some used to say, you bake and fake and bake, make it. You know, just you make, try, and it will become a spontaneous thing, behavior later on. So, here Bhagavan discusses these things. We'll go to the next verse. That's why in Jnanam, Jnani is the only person who will not be worried about which planet is where. He will not be worried about discussing matters with, you know, even an astrologer. What I should do, why things are not happening properly in my life, is all relative. Of course, I'm not saying we should not approach an astrologer. In India, astrology is a very beautiful science, but nowadays people do not have very many good astrologers who can predict correctly. That's a problem. But astrology is a science used always to know one's parabdha, not to change what the situations. Astrology is for us to consult an astrologer to know what is in store. So, okay, these are the planetary positions. this is how Paratha is going to be. If you know, you don't worry. Okay, this is how my life is going to be, means you do not lose heart. It is for you to then you live your life of how prayerful, worshipful, and how to spend the whole rest of the life completely meaningful life. Astrological consultation is always for making one's life meaningful. Which means after consulting the astrologer also, or without consulting the astrologer also, one can be very clear. But one must be prayerful, worshipful, and totally committed to live a life of dharma. And there must be proper attitude. That's all. That is enough. And you have tremendous, you can tap Bhagavan's grace and you can keep moving in your life. So next verse. Let us read those two verses. Samashatrocha mitrecha
tatha manapamanayoho shitoshna sukha dukkheshu samasanga vivarjitah tulya nindastutir mauni santushto yena kena chitri aniketa sthiramatihi bhakti man me priyo naraha.
So the last verse, this is one of the two small chapters in Bhagavad Gita, that is 15th chapter and 12th chapter, only 20 verses. Last verse,
yetu dharmyamrutam idam yathoktam pariyupasate yetu dharmyamrutam idam yathoktam pariyupasate shraddha dhanamat parama bhaktaste tiva me priyah yetu dharmyamrutam idam yathoktam pariyupasate shraddha dhanamat parama bhaktaste tiva me priyah yetu dharmyamrutam idam yathoktam pariyupasate shraddha dhanamat parama bhaktaste tiva me priyah.
Now yetu, dharmya amrutam idam, dharmyam,
yetu dharmyamrutam idam yathoktam paryupasate.
So here if you take ye bhaktaha, in second line you have bhaktaha.
Shaddhana matparama bhaktaste tiva me priyaha.
Again Bhagavan concludes this verse saying bhaktaha ativa priyaha. Me ativa priyaha bhaktaha. Me means mama. Mama ativa priyaha bhaktaha. Priyaha bhaktaha means my dear devotees. Ativa priyaha bhaktaha. These are the devotees who are very dear to me. Me ativa priyaha bhaktaha. This particular expression sounds like even Tamil. Very simple. Me ativa priyaha bhaktaha. Mama ativa priyaha bhaktaha. The devotees who are very, very dear to me are these people. Who are they? He says, first of all, you know, ye bhaktaha, those devotees, let you pronounce, those bhaktas are very dear devotees. Who are they? Ye, those people. Mat paramaha. First of all, mat paramaha. He says, not only he talked about the jnanis, he again says, mat paramaha. Mat Paramaha means, Mat means myself. Paramaha means devotees for whom I, the truth, the Bhagavan become the priority. Mat Paramaha means people for whom I, the Bhagavan, become the absolute end, ultimate goal, priority, primary goal in life. So if you, Mat Paramaha means we should take it as Bhagavat Paramaha. What is the ultimate goal of your life? What is the absolute end in your life? What is your priority in your life? See, you may be doing hundreds of things, but your ultimate, you must be very clear. Ultimately, what I am searching for, what I am seeking, what I need to accomplish, what I need to discover, what I am living this whole life is ultimately for is Bhagavan. Discovering Bhagavan, the very truth, obtaining as my own Swarupam is my ultimate goal. If moksha is your ultimate goal, then for moksha, discovering moksha as the very swarupam of the reality becomes your goal, then Bhagavan is your goal. He says, people who have Bhagavan as their ultimate goal, not artha, not kama, not even dharma. So they pursue artha, kama in conformity with dharma. They are all relative ends. They do not mistake artha kamas as their ultimate ends. They do not mistake even dharma as the ultimate ends. Ultimate end. For them, moksha is the ultimate end. Therefore, knowledge becomes the ultimate end. Discovering the truth becomes the ultimate end. If discovering the truth becomes the ultimate end goal, that is when Bhagavan becomes the ultimate end. So Bhagavan says here, people who have me as the ultimate goal, thereby who have Arthakama Dharmas as their relative ends, those people. So ye bhaktaha mat paramaha, for whom I become the ultimate goal. Then, not only that, and those people who shaddadhanaha, shaddadhanaha means what? Who are absolutely faithful. No, they're not at all skeptical, they're not doubtful, they're not faithless, they're absolutely faithful people. Shraddhadhanaha. And so, having me as the ultimate goal, people with absolute faith, who pariyupasate, who follow, who pursue, pariyupasate means who pursue, who follow. What do they follow? Idam dharmyam amrutam. Amrutam dharmyam. This dharma, who follow this dharma. Here the word dharma means teaching. Okay? Who follow this teaching? And what sort of teaching is this? Idam means this teaching. And this teaching itself is what? He does not even mention the word teaching. This teaching pertaining to dharma is dharmyam. And amritam, and this teaching is what? Not only it is the teaching pertaining to dharma, and also teaching which is imperishable, everlasting teaching, immortal teaching. Dharmyamritam, dharmyam amritam. Yetu dharmyamritam idam. Yathoktam paryupasate. Yathavuktam paryupasate. This teaching is pertaining to dharma. And this teaching is what? Also eternal, timeless, immortal teaching. This teaching. The people who pursue this teaching pertaining to dharma, this timeless teaching pertaining to dharma, and with absolute faith, shaddadhanaha, mat paramaha, having me, Bhagavan, as the ultimate goal of life, So Bhagavan does not say you should not pursue artha kamas. You have to pursue artha kamas in your life, but the goal, ultimate goal, must be not artha kama, but only Bhagavan. So having Bhagavan as the ultimate goal with the great Shraddha, then people who pursue with the great Shraddha, they pursue this teaching, which is pertaining to Dharma. They pursue this timeless teaching pertaining to Dharma. And exactly what? Yathoktam. The teaching exactly as enjoined by the Shastram. Yathoktam. Not only that, you can see what has been narrated, said before in the previous verses. Yatha uktam, as exactly said above. Yatha ukta means as said above. See, following the teaching exactly as said above, and those devotees, te bhaktaha, me ativa priyaha, they're very dear to me. Very nice, beautiful verse. So, this last verses present the description of a Mahatma, a man of vision, a Jnani, a wise person. Suppose, if you ask you here, how many of you do not want to have such a mind? We all have minds. We all have. Suppose Bhagavan comes and tells in front of you, okay, I'm going to give you all this mind described above in these two verses, 18th and 19th verses. Okay. How many of you want this mind? I want to give you all free. Don't need to work. Put up your hands. If Bhagavan says, who will not say no? Even for fun, Bhagavan is not going to give us. Be free. No, even free, no? You must say yes. So who will say no? Ajay will jump and get it, grab it from Bhagavan first. Okay, all of us will we won't be friends. We'll all become, no, suppose Bhagavan is, I only have two, three people can have. Then, my God, you will be very generous. Give it to him. Let him have. Even I will not say, let Ajay have, Matthew have. I said, Bhagavan, first give it to me. Okay, I know I like Radhaniji very much. He's such a nice person, but still give it to me first. When Radhaniji will say that also. So we will all be interested only in having such a mind. Nobody will say, I don't want such a mind. Tulya ninda stutihi mauni shitoshta sukadukkeshu samaha mana apanyo. Oh my God, what a great mind. We wish we have that mind. We have that mind. So that mind is not easy. Therefore, what Bhagavan says here in this verse, so it is not easy to have this mind, even though we will all just crave for having such a mind. Because even when you listen to the unfoldment itself, it is so inspiring, so tempting. It is so grabbing. It's so nice. Therefore, mean completely being free from all emotional dependence. We are not hooked anywhere with any of the emotional entanglement. We are free from emotional entanglement. The mind which is free from emotional entanglement alone can be a mind, can be such a mind. So a person whose mind is free from emotional entanglement alone can have such a mind. He is free from the hold of mind. His mind is free. So he is free from the hold of mind. Therefore, Bhagavan says, Paryupasate, one who follows Yathoktam. Yathoktam, exactly what has been said in the previous verses. So a real bhakta goes through exactly the behavior, goes through what is explained in this whole chapter, especially in those verse above, and who follows this bhakti as taught in this 12th chapter. So what I should do? Either I should live a life of karma yoga. I must have proper attitude towards life. I must have proper attitude towards Bhagavan. Then I must have that Isharpana buddhi. I must have prasada buddhi. Whatever comes in life. And I must be 100% committed to live a life of universal values. Then Bhagavan says, that's also fine. That is the first level of bhakti, karma yoga. Then, apart from being living a life of karma yoga, I cannot understand Bhagavan's abstract form. At least let me stop. Bhagavan says, at least living a life of dharma with the proper attitude, again be a worshipper of Bhagavan in any one form. So one must have ekarupa bhakti at least in the beginning. Otherwise, okay, you are satisfied with that, you have understanding of the teaching, and you have Vishwarupa bhakti also. See Bhagavan as the one who is in the home of the whole cosmos. So invoke the grace of Bhagavan in one small form, or invoke the Bhagavan's grace, see him as one in the form of the universe, Vishwarupa of Bhagavan. Then whether you invoke Bhagavan as in one form, whether you are Ekarupa Bhakti you have or Vishwarupa Bhakti you have, does not matter. It is very important you live a life of Karma Yoga with a proper attitude towards everything. And with an attitude of offering all actions to Bhagavan, above all, 100% commitment to live a life of values. And always seeking Bhagavan's grace for being able to live a life of values. Okay, that is bhakti, Bhagavan says. And otherwise, if you have understood being given to the discipline of, if you are given to the discipline of Shravanam, with Shraddha, you are studying the Shastram, definitely, prayerfully, that will be effective. That is also bhakti. If you are doing manana, that is bhakti, and you are able to, dwell upon the teaching, if you are able to live a contemplative life, that's also bhakti. If you are not qualified for contemplative life, then at least do Shravanam first. If you are not ready for Shravanam also, then live a life of Karma Yoga, prayerfully, worshipfully, seeking Bhagavan's grace, always for having the vision. Okay? This is what the teaching. This is called what? Immortal, timeless teaching. And timeless teaching pertaining to dharma. What is dharma? Living a life of karma yoga is living a life of dharma. Living life of meditative life is living a life of dharma. Upasanam. Whether you are living, being given to the discipline of jnana yoga is also what? Is a dharma. These are all different. Following these disciplines is what? Following the teaching pertaining to dharma. Okay. Dharmyam means following these three disciplines. Living a life of karma yoga. And following the upasanam. Being worshipful and prayerful. Meditative. Then being given to the discipline of shravanam, mananam, etc. Mananam in keeping with where you are. And being given to these disciplines is following this dharma. And following the teaching which pertaining to dharma. And this teaching is what? Immortal. Because this teaching happens to be teaching of Veda Shastram. It's a timeless teaching coming from Veda Shastram. And if you follow this, Bhagavan says, having Bhagavan as the goal, if you follow this teaching with the Shraddha in the teaching, and definitely you will become dear to Bhagavan. So Bhagavan says, such a person is dear to me. Okay. With this, 12th chapter is over. Om Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. భక్తియోగో ఓం ఇతి శ్రీమద్ భగవద్గీతాసు ఉపనిషత్సు బ్రహ్మ విద్యాయాం యోగశాస్త్రే శ్రీకృష్ణార్జున సంవాదే భక్తియోగో నామ ద్వాదశోధ్యాయః. ఓకే, ఎనీ క్వశ్చన్స్ ఫ్రమ్ హియర్? వన్ థింగ్ ఐ వాంట్ టు రిమెంబర్, ప్లీజ్ రిమెంబర్, ఆఫ్టర్ హ్యావింగ్ హర్డ్ దిస్ హోల్ 12th చాప్టర్, ఇఫ్ సంబడి ఆస్క్స్ యూ, ఈస్ భక్తి అ సెపరేట్ పాత్ విచ్ విల్ లీడ్ యూ టు భగవాన్? ఇన్ స్పైట్ ఆఫ్ లిసనింగ్ టు ఆల్ దీస్ టీచింగ్స్ ఆల్సో పీపుల్ స్టిల్ ఆర్ నాట్ ఏబుల్ టు గెట్ ఓవర్ దర్ ఓల్డ్ టీచింగ్స్, ఓల్డ్ థింగ్స్. సి, ఇట్స్ వెరీ ఇంపార్టెంట్ టు ఫాలో ద టీచింగ్. శాస్త్రం డజంట్ మ్యాటర్, వచ్చి స్టడీ విత్ మీ సంబడి, స్టడీ విత్ సంబడి ఎల్స్ డజంట్ మ్యాటర్. శాస్త్రం మస్ట్ బికమ్ యువర్ గైడ్. ఈవెన్ ఆఫ్టర్ లిసనింగ్ టు ద టీచింగ్, స్టిల్ ఎనీ ఇండివిజువల్ పర్సన్ బికమ్స్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ ఫర్ యూ, please see that you are not on the right track. You can have reverence for any number of mahatmas who come and go. You can bow to their feet, get prasadam from them. But what to follow must be the teaching of the shastram, not the people. Then if you see, we do not know, we are emotionally very needy and very weak people, and somehow gradually when you come to know of people, what all people, powers people are endowed with, doesn't matter, other person may be endowed with so many other big, big powers. So what? Pooja Swamiji used to tell us like this. Now, what do I get? What is there for me? Oh my God, this person has this power, you know. He can do this. He can cure this disease. He can get to this. He can get to this. Swamiji used to ask, okay, this person is a Mahatma, great person. I bow to him, no problem. Bow to him, that's all. But ask this question, what do I get? What is there for me? Will it solve your problems for good? No. So you have to work for your wisdom. You must be very, very conscious. This is what Shastram says. Shastram wants every one of us to become Mahatma. You know. So understand the limitation where you are and work for sorting out what I need to sort out. That's all we must be doing. So bhakti, what is bhakti? If anybody asks a question, you must be able to say, bhakti is not a separate path. Because we completed this chapter, I have to tell you now. Again, I may not have time again to talk about it. Bhakti is not a separate path which will lead you to jnana and moksha. Bhakti is a love for the knowledge of the truth. Is actually the love for your own essential nature of happiness. What you actually love, what you actually you seek desperately is what is universally sought is happiness, everlasting happiness, means limitless happiness only. Okay, and that happiness and peace what you are searching for is actually the nature of the reality, and you are essentially the reality, therefore you are of the nature of happiness, fullness. Whether you like it, you don't like it, this is the fact. You are of the nature of what you are desperately searching for. Unfortunately, you are not able to claim it and say, own it. You are not able to see what you are. The whole problem is that we are not able to see what our essential nature is. That is because we are not able to see. And that not being able to see, it's what is said to be ajnanam. Okay, parabdha, pratibandha, all these things are talked in that context. There are obstacles, there's a parabdha karma phalam, and then when I'm not able to see, I'm ajnani. These are all the problems. It is a common problems of all human beings. The entire humanity has these problems. So Shastram says, therefore, bhakti is not a separate path. And what is bhakti? Please understand. I told in the very beginning, karma yoga, upasanam, and jnana yoga. All these three disciplines Shastram has prescribed. Bhakti is one word which means all these three words. What is bhakti? Karma yoga, upasanam, jnana yoga. all these three disciplines, which have to be followed by individuals sequentially. All these three disciplines are important. They must be followed sequentially. So karma yoga and meditation must, karma yoga itself becomes a life of meditative life. Because you're conscious of dharma, you're conscious of Bhagavan, you do not forget Bhagavan, you have Bhagavan as the ultimate goal. Then living a life of karma yoga means you're prayerful, you're worshipful, you're committed to Bhagavan, mat paramaha, as Bhagavan said, Bhagavan is the priority for you. Then karma yogi is a bhaktaha, real bhaktaha. Of course, and once you have prepared your mind, as a prepared minded, once having understood through this, by going through this Shravanam, if you're given to the discipline of Shravanam, what are you studying? And if only with the Shraddha, you can be pursuing Jnanam. Because of your Shraddha in Jnanam, Shraddha in Moksha, because Shraddha in Bhagavan, Shraddha in Shastram, and you're given to the discipline of Shravanam, listening, that is Bhakti. With the Shraddha, listening to the unfoldment of the Shastram is Bhakti. And you're able to understand the teaching is Bhakti. And you are prayerful. You seek Bhagavan's grace desperately to be able to understand. There must be prayer also. You know, simply listening to the, not simply understanding, I'm consciousness. No, there must be fervent prayer on your part to assimilate what you have really understood, if at all you have understood. So, Shravanam, that's why with the Shravanam, only having Bhagavan as the priority, then you do prayer, you do worship, that becomes Upasanam. Because you're meditative of Bhagavan, being conscious of Bhagavan always is what? Being meditative. Being meditative does not mean sitting and doing japa is also okay. Meditation always is okay, but even otherwise, having Bhagavan as the goal, priority, ultimate, as the paramam, mat paramaha, as Bhagavan said, then you live your life consciously for this, ultimately having that as the goal, Bhagavan becomes no fraction of a second, you're forgetting Bhagavan. That is why karma yoga is a bhakti. Upasanam, worshipful, prayerful, being worshipful, being prayerful, being meditative of Bhagavan, Sagna Rupam, is also bhakti. And we're given to the discipline of Shravanam, being given to the discipline of Jnana Yogaha, Bhakti. If you're all the time reflecting upon what you have already understood, you're trying to have your doubts clarified, that is Bhakti. And if you're very clear understanding, you're always contemplative upon what you have already understood clearly, repeatedly, you're contemplative of your teaching. The teaching means that is Bhakti. So Bhakti is the one common word. It's a common element for people of all disciplines. All these three disciplines. People of all these three disciplines, bhakti is a common element. For a sannyasi, for a karma yogi, for a grihastha, for a vanaprasthi, for a brahmachari, for all of them, bhakti is a common element. Why? Bhakti is Bhagavan becomes the priority of in your life. Then that is bhakti. Once Bhagavan becomes the priority, you have Shraddha in Shastram, Shraddha in Bhagavan. Then your lifestyle is governed by Dharma Shastram. Means that is Bhakti. So, just not simply worshipping, singing, praying alone. Of course, singing is important, praying is important, everything is important. Depending upon a time availability, you can do whatever it is. Even if you are not given to the singing, and suppose some people are shy, they do not want to sing. But still reciting, chanting, doing japam and praying and studying all the time is also, not only studying, we are also conscious of following values. I tell you, being conscious of following these values is very, very important. Am I following these values? And then, when you say, am I following these values, it is not to judge others. Yeah, she is not following, he is not following, but he's only telling. If your priority is Bhagavan, don't see whether others are following it or not. It's a waste of time. You work for your jnanam, your moksha. Even other person does not follow, the punyam or papam is with other person. the other person's problem, other person's headache. You don't need to become judgmental and you don't need to worry about those things. You just take care of yourself. In fact, Swamiji used to tell this. I love Swamiji's expression. He used to tell this, you know. See, an intelligent person who has Purusharth Nischeha, who is committed to the pursuit of Jnanam, will not be judgmental. He'll be prudent not to be become the victim of other people who have problems. It's a different thing because you take care of yourself. Because you understand you are sinking yourself. Okay? And the problem is sometimes other people who are teaching and they are not following and this person is not doing this, this person is not doing this. You don't worry about it. If other person follows, does not follow, that other person's problems. Other person will have to pay for it. Okay? Whatever right thing or wrong thing the person has, thus the person has to pay for it. He will reap whatever he sows. He or she, doesn't matter. So you just take care of your own wellness. You take care of your wellness. See, being intelligently selfish means definitely you are not, no, definitely you are not harmful to others. You cannot do any wrong thing to others. You cannot hurt others because you're conscious of how you should be living your life. Therefore, this is the lessons from Bhakti Yoga. We have to enter into a 13th chapter. It's a beautiful chapter. Now, from the 13th chapter, let me give a brief introduction to 13th chapter before we go to next class. The 13th chapter, Trayodashadhyayaha has Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yoga as its topic. Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yoga is the topic of the 13th chapter. Very beautiful chapter. Every chapter is beautiful only here. At least there were some portions which were dry, but here you will enjoy it thoroughly, totally. You can see how the clarity, suddenly you will feel the clarity will be enhancing. All that you have been understanding will become consolidated in what you're going to see later on. Because the 13th chapter you will learn, you're going to see important values. The 21 values. 19 also they say. Anyway, you will learn those values. And understand the connection between you, Bhagavan, and the world. What is Jiva? What is Jagat? What is Ishvara? Also you'll be understanding. Why? Because with the 12th chapter, the Tatpada Lakshyartha is over. The Twampada Lakshyartha, the implied meaning of the word Twam is over in the previous chapter. And the Tatpada Lakshyartha, the implied meaning of the word Tat will be over in the, over now with this 12th chapter. Asipada Artha, hereafter, 13th chapter onwards, until the 18th chapter, you know, it's called Charama Shatkam. So Prathama Shatkam, Madhyama Shatkam are over. So the three parts of six chapters each, the first two parts are over. The third part, you will see how the clarity enhances. All these days with the patience, what effort, what you have, you know, patiently have been listening to repeated teaching. Sometimes feeling bored, sometimes feeling tired, sometimes feeling excited, sometimes feeling interesting. You have been, all the hard work you have made, in a sense, all these years or months that you have been listening to this 12 chapters for a very long time. So now you will enjoy the benefit of your time you have spent for 12 chapters only from hereafter, only from this chapter onwards, 13th chapter onwards. It will definitely contribute for your clarity. I mean, what you understood will be become enhancing, will be enhancing here, will become enhanced in the following chapters. Because asipada artha, we are going to understand the essential oneness of individual and the total in the following six chapters. In the first six chapters, essential nature of the individual. Second six chapters, what Bhagavan is essentially. Now in last six chapters, you understand how Bhagavan and Jiva and Ishvara are essentially one. So we are going to understand oneness, essential oneness is the main subject matter of the following six chapters. So we will continue in the next class with the first fresh chapter. It's okay? Any questions? And I also recommend all of you, I know some of you are doing your Gayatri Japa, Sandhya Vandanam, regular things you've been doing. I know how life is very busy and very hectic in London with the children, with the commitments. But still, you see that you must have at least 5 to 10 minutes to sit and quietly do some prayer. Prayer is very important, especially young grihasthas. Okay, of course, elderly people, they have to be contemplative. They have no choice. They have to be studying and they're doing it also. They're okay, no commitments, but especially young people, the pandemic one side, work pressure, household duties, children, their needs, with all of the, having all these things, definitely intense, fervent prayers are important. Make it a point to get the children down, make them sit with you and see every day, make it a point to pray at least for 5 minutes, you sit together and 5 minutes, not more than that. 5 to 10 minutes. Get them. Sit together. Make it a habit of praying together for 5 minutes. Well, even they play, even if they're playful, doesn't matter. They must have the samskaram of being together and praying. You must start. You must make it. Okay? Because that is very important, because that is what is the finally is going to help everybody. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Guru Namaha Harihi Om.